This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am delighted and happy to spend this time with you today. I sure am, but guess what? I'm happy to spend it with you Monday through Friday right here on the station that you are listening to or the platform by which you are receiving our program today. We're always eager to hear from you, and I've got a toll-free number for you. I surely do. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's toll-free for you right here in North America. Again, that number is 833-288-EWTN. Just plug in those numbers and you can join us. And we're happy to take your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement to that end. Our call screener, Matthew Gubinski, is there for you. And he will retrieve that question of yours from you and put it up on the board. And I'll be happy to address it and chit-chat with you on the air. If you're a first-timer, please do let us know. And I will ring my welcome bell for you. We love to ring that welcome bell. Yes, we do. So please do call us. In addition to that, we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. Both of those places have a chat feature for you. Use that chat feature to put in your question or comment. Jeff Burson, our social media manager and our producer, will go out there, collect it, put it up on the board, and I'll be able to address it. I surely will. So enjoy talking with you Monday through Friday here. I certainly do. And we love to have that holy conversation. It's one of the ways in which I think that we are edified and built up and build each other up too. I know the more I talk about our Lord, you know, the more excited I get about our Lord, and that spirit of zeal just comes down from the heavenlies and fills me up, and I'm sure the same thing happens with you. When we're evangelizers, we're always evangelizing ourselves as well, and you are called to be an evangelizer. The church exists to evangelize. You want to know why the church exists? To evangelize. Oh, yeah, to keep us evangelizing ourselves and others, but to bring people in, right, to help people to understand the great gift that is ours through the graces available to us by way of the church that Jesus Christ founded, and all coming from his salvific action on Calvary's Hill. So give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have all kinds of things coming up in the very near future. So I'm going to take an opportunity here at the top of the program to just share with you a little bit about some of the things that are happening. As you know, this Saturday, I've been telling you about this, Saturday is our very first WAG-a-thon. And what is that? It's our Women of Grace-a-thon, an online event. We've got all kinds of surprises for you. And why are we doing this? Because it's our 20th anniversary. Women of Grace has been in existence since 2023. That was our very first outreach. I say 2023. I meant 2003. That's why it's 20 years later. Duh. Okay. Our very first outreach was in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, the first weekend in October in 2003. And here we are 20 years later, still going strong. As a matter of fact, having expanded far beyond anything I thought we were about when we had that very first event there at Our Lady of Częstochowa's Shrine there in Doylestown, PA. What a beautiful event that was. And we're planning a lovely event for you that you can join us by attending this Saturday, September the 30th. Now, all you have to do is go out to our website. You'll see it advertised for you there. You click on that. Register. It's free, as I say, but just register so that we can send you the link by which you can join us via Zoom. We want to interact with you live during that time period. We've got all kinds of surprise guests that are going to be coming and popping in on us, and we've got some beautiful little congratulatory messages that other people have sent to us. We've got some fun things going on. Jack and I are going to be giving a couple of marriage moments through the course of that time, that four-hour time, and those are going to be live. Sue Brinkman has some of the wackiest wacky things that go on a Wacky Wednesday. She's got some really choice things to share with us. Just all kinds of beautiful opportunities for you there. So we're hoping that you're going to join us for this beautiful live event. It's a fundraiser. We want to raise money, but we're not charging you to come and join and celebrate, right? We're not charging you to do that. So we invite you to check it out at our website, and we invite you to come. You know, it amazes me how God takes a fiat. We say yes to him. He fecundates it with the Holy Spirit as he did Our Lady's fiat, and new life comes forth from it. And we talk at Women of Grace, and you've heard me say this before probably, about the fertility of the fiat. We give a yes, but it's not the last yes we give. You know, the Lord comes, he fecundates that yes, and then the next thing you know, new life grows. We say yes again. What happens? He comes, he fecundates that yes, and new life grows, and you keep moving along. And that's kind of how it's been for 20 years for Women of Grace. And we find ourselves now, you know, all of these years later with Women of Grace foundational studies going on in ever so many places throughout the United States, outside of the United States. It's popping up everywhere. We're so excited about that. We've had, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of women have gone through this study. And we've got beautiful facilitators and beautiful regional coordinators that are located in various areas and you know, geographic locations, just bringing this beautiful, beautiful word to women about who they truly are, especially in a day and a time when people are so confused about that. So I'm inviting you to join us September the 30th. Please do sign up. No cost involved. Go out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Also want to let you know, and I'm not sure that this is on our website, but on the very first weekend in October of this year, I am going to be at Our Lady of Good Counsel Retreat House in Nebraska, right outside of Lincoln, Nebraska, for a beautiful 3-day weekend retreat for men and women. It's listed as a silent retreat, and oh dear, that's going to be an interesting adventure for me, but I will be giving talks, so I'll get a chance to speak. But all of that being said, it is going to be a beautiful time. All of the information is available for you at their website, and you can sign up right there. It's goodcounselretreat.org. Good Counsel, and that's C-O-U-N-S-E-L. Good Counsel Retreat, all one word, .org. And you'll see in their nav bar retreats, you click on that, you'll go down to this weekend, and you'll see my picture there, and you'll see all about this retreat. It's going to start Friday evening with Mass at 8 p.m. It starts with a rosary and Mass at 8 p.m., and it ends Sunday with Mass at noon and lunch. We'll have a lunch on Sunday as well, and it's going to be beautiful. Here's the theme: living his life abundantly in today's world. Find clarity, develop trust, and strengthen faith even in difficult times. And I'm going to be giving 5 talks, so I'm going to be a chatty Cathy through the course of that weekend. The presentations are: God Has an Abundant Life in Mind for You. Second talk, Clarity, Seeing the World as God Sees It. Next talk, Fear is Useless, What is Needed is Trust. Next talk, Faith, Confidence in the Midst of Chaos. And the final talk, A Future Full of Hope. So if you need a little bit of hope, if you need a little bit of encouragement, if you really want to begin to see the world through the eyes of God, come join us. It's going to be a beautiful time. That is at the website for you. Check it out. More there at the website. We invite you to get out there. All kinds of good resources. That's womenofgrace.com. womenofgrace.com. You hear that music? When we come back, do want to hear from you today. I surely do. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Join us right here where we will talk about anything you'd like to talk about. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. I surely am. Let me give you that toll-free number to use so that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. What is that number? It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. 3986. Pick up the phone, punch in those numbers, join us today. Matthew Gabensky is eager to hear from you, but no more eager than I. Let him know if you're a first-time caller, and we'll do this. This is our welcome bell. I love to ring it. So please do call us. In addition to joining us that way, you can join us out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. There's a chat feature, and it's there for a reason. It's waiting for your question or comment to be put there. Jeff Burson, our social media manager and our producer, will dash on out there. He will retrieve it, and he will get it up on the air. And I'll go, whoopee, because I'll be so happy to hear from you. I do want to remind you that if you're a first-time submitter, we want to hear from you too. And here, there it is. That is the welcome bell once again. So do let us know. Again, that toll-free number, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Want to remind you of something else. You know what Monday is? It's the first Monday of the month. A week from today. Can you believe it? My gracious sakes, where is September? I'm out there looking for September, and all I see is, like, you know, the coattails of it flying away. It's leaving very quickly. So next Monday is the first Monday of the month, and guess who's going to be with me in studio at EWTN? My own husband, Jack Williams, because it's going to be Monthly Marriage Monday. So be sure to mark it on your calendar and call in with your questions all about marriage, our vocation as husband and wife, you know, some of the difficulties and struggles that we face, whatever the case may be. We want to hear all about it. You can also leave a question for us at our listener comment line, which is the same as our on-air number, but after 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern. So after 4 p.m. Eastern, just call 833-288-EWTN and leave your question for us, and Jeff will get it, and he will give it to us, and we will be able to answer it for you. You can email your questions too. Here is the email address, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. womenofgrace@ewtn.com. In the subject line there, just put in marriage, and then Jeff will know that it's a question for Monthly Marriage Monday. So inviting you to take advantage of that opportunity. So the one, the only, the Jack Williams is going to be with us in studio on Monday. Our phone lines are lighting up. Oh my goodness, can you hear me smiling? I'm smiling. I'm always so happy when you call in. I surely am. And we're going to go to those phone lines right now. Let's get to Barbara. She is in Jacksonville, Florida today. Happy that Barbara is with us, listening to us via YouTube. Hey, Barbara.
Well, hello there. And I just want to say the month's not over, but we are still going to be celebrating our Archangels on the 29th, right?
Yes, we will. Yes. And I'm excited about that. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about the angels as we move through our programs this week when I get an opportunity to do so. So, yeah, that's a big day. And then, of course, our Wagathon is on the 30th. I hope you'll come and join us, Barbara. We'd love to have you there.
Well, I think I should just move up where you are so I could be involved with everything. But my the purpose of my call is this. I've been working with veterans now for 40 years.
Yes.
And helping veterans. And I call myself the clandestine of, of just helping them. Mostly it's on the phone, POWs, three of them mm-hmm. I've helped, combat vets, first responders, And so I really, and I've had this calling to become, I was going to think about the nun, but it's cloistered, so my priest said no. He said, sister. So I said, great. He said, you have to change your name. I said, I've already picked it, Colby, Sister Colby Pio. And he says, you have to pick where you're going to go. I said, well, I want to go to work with the Archdiocese of the United States of America Veterans. And I want to work with veterans, specifically for veterans. He says, well, there aren't any. There are no sisters in the specific for that. And so you have to start it up. And so with that said, I'm 62 and I don't know how long the training, do I have to 5 years? It could be less. I could go directly to the Archbishop of Florida, who I know pretty very well for 50 years now.
Archbishop Wensky?
Yeah, Tom, yes. And he grew a beard. He just recently grew a beard, and he's wonderful. Anyway, yes, Jeanette. And that's what I do. If I don't talk to at least one or two a day, veterans or first responders. I mean, it's my calling. It is a calling. And as in yesterday's and reading it, and I'll just quote, it says right here, God and his angels in heaven still rejoice. So should we, anytime we hear of anyone turning to God later in life, God is always inviting people to go into my vineyard.
That's right. Yeah, and I guess, Barbara, the question is, first of all, I think this is a beautiful calling, and it's a very necessary calling. And, this is, the unfortunate reality is that typically at any given point in time in the history of the world, there is conflict somewhere, and everyone is traumatized by conflict. And of course, your call is rather specific in that it is to veterans and to first responders, individuals that are actually engaged in the battle. But we know that the fallout from the battle is also very real. And they're not the only ones who suffer. You know, people that are caught up in conflict because it's in their geographic area. I'm thinking of the people of Ukraine right now. They suffer great traumas. In addition to that, individuals who are married to first responders and to those who have fought in conflict. Yeah. So this is a very, very broad, based in its complexities, area of need that is very real. And I think that God is prompting you. You've been at this, you've been doing it for all of these years. So you've already been engaged in that endeavor. And I would just say, you know, given where you are chronologically in your life, you know, the way in which God would have you in some way institutionalize this is the question that needs to be responded to, needs to be answered. And I do know, although this is unusual, I do know that there are many cases. I'm thinking of Blessed Conchita, for one, who herself remained a lay woman. She was a widow at the time that this happened, but she was the mother of several children. She founded religious orders. And that's not, it's not common, but it's not also exceptional within the history of the church. So whether or not you actually entered into something that you would begin like that, I don't know. Another thing, I see, like in my note here from Matthew, that you're talking about how do I become a consecrated virgin? Well, you know, first of all, your state in life has to be in agreement with that. So I'm taking it that you're not married.
I've never
been married, and that's a very real possibility. And given the fact that you have a personal relationship with the Archbishop, I see no reason why you could not call, try to make an appointment with him, even if it's a phone appointment or a Zoom appointment, because Jacksonville's not necessarily that close to Miami, but it's not far, just up the coast.
He's going everywhere throughout the state.
Yeah. All right. And maybe you could meet with him and talk with him, and he could give you guidance and direction on how this can take place. But, you know, I'm sure that you're not the only one who has this desire, because if the Lord is prompting you to in some way institutionalize this, and by that I mean, you know, through the ecclesiastical structure of the church, then, you know, whether it's a lay association or actually does have the capacity for being a religious order, there are others that he's calling, or he wouldn't be inspiring you to do something like this if he wasn't already prompting others to do it who he wants to involve in the work. So all of that kind of speed, and it's not left you. It's been with you for a long time. You haven't been waiting. You've been actively engaged in it. And there is a need for it. And those have the markings, you know, of the Holy Spirit. So I think going into a process of discernment with somebody that would guide you and direct you along this path, no better place to begin than with the Archbishop, since you seem to have access to him. I think that would be, the next step that you would want to take. And I'm always reminded of the fact that when the Lord prompts, we want to heed that prompting once we test it. And it seems to me that you've tested this. So, you know, I would follow up and see, you know, see what he says, what he inspires you to do. And your priest certainly
I went to my vocation. Well, the priest, he said to start up, and I went to the vocations, and he little bit out of the wheel, but he said, Barbara, you've already been doing this, so you don't need to become a sister. I said, well, now, other times have changed. I just cannot walk into a Walter Reed or to a VA today and go to what, you know, my plans are kind of like a Florence Nightingale, right? But I won't be a nurse. I would just sit there. I would be able to write letters for them and be quiet and listen to them and evangelize. And just let them know that I'm sitting there with them.
Yeah, and really, you know, I think, you know, I get what your priest is saying, and it doesn't have to be a religious order, but the structure of the church is such that it's broad, and so it can encompass many things, and there can be credentials that are given, you know, to permit people access. So these are the finer things that have to do with canon law and stuff like that, that, you know, I don't have any expertise to speak to, but I think this has always been what's guided me in my, however many years since 1981 ish, you know, formerly 87 ish years of a ministry. You know, when the Lord opens a door, I walk through the door. So a door has been opened to you, I believe, through your relationship here with the Archbishop, and I would walk through that door. And then the Lord will continue to open all of the doors that he wants opened. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to project on, okay, you know, this is how I think that this will come down the line. It may, but we go through the doors that the Lord opens. Then we know it's his work and not our work. And if it's his work, then there's going to be abundant fruit produced. If it's our work, well, then it's going to be very meager fruit and probably not very tasty. But he's already been involving you, so you know the good fruit. And I think that that is why he's potentially opening this door for you. So I would just go right ahead and, you know, I would walk through that door, see where it leads you. I think it's a beautiful thing, Barbara, and I thank you for your service to our men and women in service, because heaven knows, you know, having lost a son and knowing that that son was suffering from PTSD, though undiagnosed, you know, I know the necessity for something about what you're saying on a very personal level. So God bless you, sweetheart. I wish you all the best, and please keep in touch with us. I know I will be eager, and I'm sure all of our listeners will be eager to see how this goes. And who knows if the Lord's not inspiring others just through this phone call today, because he works like that. He's a marvelous Lord, this Lord of ours. So let's see where it goes and keep us posted. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. And we'll just say little prayers for you too, that the Lord gives you the stamina, the perseverance, and again, you know, opens those avenues that he wants open to you. Let's get to Mike. Mike is in Savannah, Georgia today. He is a first-time caller. You can join us too, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us today. Hey, Mike in Savannah, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. And I want to let everybody know that you're listening via EWTN.com. That is the website of EWTN, and we're happy you're with us that way. So what's going on in Mike's world?
When I spoke to the screener, I had one thing on my heart, but after listening to the previous caller, a question occurred to me that I think I'd rather ask about. And I guess what I'd like to ask is for advice on just how to focus in prayer. Listening to the previous caller, it sounded as though she very much is able to pray clearly, and that is something I struggle to obtain at times. And often when I'm praying, my mind drifts to temporal matters, things that are going on with my wife and things I need to do. And I'd just like some advice with regards to that.
Oh, well, Mike, this is a beautiful question. You know, and my call screener, Matthew, has kind of put down what it is that your first question was, too. So I see what that was. So maybe we can blend the two together. You know, first of all, I think sometimes when we think about prayer, you know, we have lofty ideas about prayer. But St. Teresa of Avila, who is the great teacher of prayer, probably, you know, par excellence, along with St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila tells us that prayer is nothing but friendly conversation with God. And that sounds almost too simplified, but it is in a sense, and it's not in another sense. I think that the essence of prayer is realizing that we are going into a moment of personal interaction with the one who created us. And he desires this from us because he's made us in his image and in his likeness. And he's always about a desire to lead us more deeply into relationship with him. And just as it is in our ordinary lives, the way in which we grow in relationship with someone is by spending time with them. And oftentimes that time involves a lot of conversation, and sometimes it involves little conversation. It's just being present. And so when we enter into that time with our Lord, we want that time to be as unsullied as possible. So we want it to be free from as many distractions as we can rid it of. The fact of the matter is, and St. Teresa talks about this in her works, distraction is always going to be part of a life of prayer. And so is its partner, dryness or aridity. Those two D's are the plague of prayer, plagues of prayer. But there are ways that we can mitigate them. And so when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of those ways. And I think it might be helpful for you as we go through that to see how it is that we can cooperate with the grace of the present moment to enter ever more deeply into this profound opportunity that we have to sit with the Lord of the universe and converse with him. I mean, just imagine that. So stay with us, Mike. More on the other side of the break. Friends, we want to hear from you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to give us a call today or use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Jeanette is taking your phone calls. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jeanette Williams. I got to tell you, I just love spending this time with you. It is the highlight of my day. It really is. It's just so enjoyable. And, you know, I thank you so very much for your phone calls, because your phone calls, I know, allow us to talk about topics that really impact not just yourself, hopefully, but other people as well, you know, and that's the beauty and the wonder of Catholic radio and the opportunity that is ours by way of it. We never want to take it for granted. So, you know, I'm inviting you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, use the chat feature. We will receive that question via Jeff Burson, who is our social media manager and also our producer. And it's Matthew Gubensky that's on the phones. First timers, let me know so I can ring my bell. And we do have a first timer. Mike is with us from Savannah, Georgia, ringing my bell again for him. He's a first-time caller, and he's asking about prayer. And I'll tell you, Mike, you know, I just love to talk about prayer. More than talking about it, I like to do it. Sometimes we like to talk about it more than doing it, but, you know, we've got to be about the business of doing it. And I can tell you this, the more we do it, the better we get at it, but we're always going to be battling, as I was sharing with you, those two D's, those two, you know, what do I want to call them, little devils of our life of prayer. And that's distraction and dryness. Now, the evil one generally is the culprit for those distractions, but sometimes he doesn't need a whole lot of provocation, because sometimes we're very easily distracted, all just based on our own. And there's reasons for that. So what I'm going to try to do in a very short period of time is give you just a little teaching on prayer and then talk specifically about distraction. So, and I'm going to recommend my book to you. Now, at the risk of sounding self-promotional, I'm going to recommend my book, because it's really a good book. And I'd love for all of you to get a copy of it. It's available for you at EWTN's Religious Catalog, and it's called Experience Grace in Abundance, 10 Strategies for Your Spiritual Life. I get calls all of the time about how can I grow closer to God, or questions about the spiritual life, or how do I solve this, or what about that. I have a lot of the answers, not all of them. I've got a lot of the answers in this book, Experience, Grace, and Abundance, 10 Strategies for Your Spiritual Life. And Mike, specific to your prayer, there is one of the strategies that is strategy two. The very first one, I think, will answer the very first strategy that precedes this one will answer your question about that you first ventured with Matthew. Advice for believing I can accomplish things. And the first chapter is for you, and it's called Believe the Truth About Yourself. So it tells you in that chapter how it is that you can begin to believe the truth about yourself and to get rid of whatever of the negative tracks that keep playing over and over again in your mind are trying to convince you of. But the second chapter, so the first two chapters, this book is for you and for all of you as well. Strategy two is engage in prayer. And the very first thing I talk about is the fact that we have to have a divine appointment with the Lord. Now, the Lord is always available. It's us that doesn't make use of our available time, or that we don't schedule time to be available with the Lord. And so we need to do that. We have to get serious about a life of prayer, not just a once-in-a-time while thing, but something that we plan for. And so Dom Champion, I quote him in this book, Dom Chapman writes this. He says, the only way to pray is to pray, and the only way to pray well is to pray much. If one has no time for this, then one must at least pray regularly. But the less one prays, the worse it goes. So, you know, the idea here, and I think you're very serious about prayer because you're asking specifically about wanting to grow in your time of prayer. The first thing to do is to make time for it, you know. And I find in my own life, my best time is the first thing in the morning. And when I say first thing, before my feet hit the ground, I do a morning offering and I do my consecration prayer to Jesus through Mary. And get up. This is my routine. I have, and Jack will attest to this, cup of coffee and an English muffin, you know. As soon as I take care of the little domestic chores that need to be done, like, you know, feeding the dog, if I'm up at bat on that one or taking them out, then I walk up the steps. We have a little room set aside up here for prayer. And I go into that prayer room and I pray. And then I get ready for radio. That's my morning routine. So, you know, make the time available. Do it at a time, even if you have to get up a little bit early, do that. I used to pray when I was raising a family at night, but I got to tell you, at night we're not as fresh, and our capacity to hear the Lord clearly is not as keen. So this is why, you know, we give him the best fruits, and the best fruits are generally the morning fruits, at least at this point in my life, that's definitely the case. And St. Teresa tells us that prayer is frequent conversation with the one who loves us. So I'm stressing that. The next thing you need is a place of solitude. Try to make it quiet. You know, you can't always get rid of the guy mowing the lawn outside or the dog barking downstairs or whatever the case is. But you close the door. Jesus tells us close the door and pray in secret, and the one who sees you in secret will answer. So, you know, you want solitude. Posture is important. You want to be comfortable. You know, now that doesn't mean that you don't strive for a little mortification here and there and, you know, pray on your knees for a little while. But, you know, if your back begins to ache and your knees begin to creak, you know, and that's distracting you, you don't want to do that. So you eliminate it by choosing a prayer posture that's comfortable for you. You know, and for some, that's sitting up. St. Ignatius of Loyola liked to pray laying down. You know, there's no right or wrong way when it comes to how to begin conversation with the Lord. But you just don't want one that's going to distract you in and of itself. You know, pious actions, you know, recollect yourself by making the sign of the cross with intentionality, you know, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Realizing that as you sign yourself, you're entering into a sacred trust with God. The sign of the cross is at once a renewal of your baptismal vows, right? But it's also a signing of the one to whom you belong. And the evil one sees that. Of course, he always sees the sign that you were sealed with at your baptism, with the sacred chrism. He always sees that. But your intentionality in doing that and realizing that I am coming to this moment in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen, is very, very helpful, right? These are just little things that I'm giving you. So then it comes time to actually enter into our prayer. And there's different kinds of prayer. There's vocal prayer, right? There's meditative prayer. There's contemplative prayer. There's the prayer of quiet, the prayer of recollection. The important thing is to start where you can. And the other thing is that none of these ways of praying are ever completely superseded by a more advanced or deepening form of prayer. And they're always helpful to come back to. However it is that we're praying, we just want to be open to the Lord, right? So I like to start my time of prayer vocally. I like to start it with praise, praising the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I rejoice in you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father God, that you've given me another day of life. Thank you for the opportunity to sit here in this solitude and just to be with you, just to be. And you could just sit there even with that and ask yourself, what does it mean for me to be? You know, just to be who I am. And I give you, Father, all that I am. I give you all of my weaknesses and imperfections and all the ways in which I mess up, but I strive to give you the best of myself too, Lord, to return to you everything that you've entrusted to me. So I yield myself to you, Father. I give you my heart. Father God, I ask you to enter into my soul in the way that you know is best for me, for you to enter in, and help me to be attentive. So Father, I give you my intellect. I give you all of the faculties of my being, my imagination, my emotions. Just invade me with your presence, Lord. Just invade me, Lord. Take me, all of me. And we just sit with that. And then quiet ourselves. You know, quiet ourselves. What does he say? Do we hear anything? Or do we just sense peace, right? When the distractions come, go back to the vocal prayer. And even use the prayers that you learned as a child. Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. Oh, Father God, to the extent that I am in grace, to that extent is heaven in me. Help me. Help me, Lord, to comprehend. No, help me to apprehend the great wonder of my life in you and your life, more importantly, in me. You know, and just sit with that. Just allow yourself to sit with it. The use of scripture, Mike, very beneficial. Ancient tradition of the church, which is Lectio Divina. And in Lectio Divina, we have this opportunity to enter into sacred scripture and to let that sacred scripture enter into us. And I like to just give you a little acronym for Lectio Divina, and it's just the word pray, P-R-A-Y. First, P, pray. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I'm going to read a passage of sacred scripture now. And Mike, it can be the reading of the day from Mass. It can be just, you know, opening sacred scripture to a certain passage. It can be going back to Sunday's readings at Mass. I've been meditating and spent a wonderful time of prayer today, meditating on just a prayer from my missal. That the priest actually prays. And, you know, and it's a prayer that the priest is praying when he's at the time of ablution, you know, when he's washing his hands from the sacred species that he's just held, right? Making sure that all of those particles, you know, are going into the chalice. And he's praying a prayer there. And he's saying, he's asking the Lord that he might worthily have received and that Jesus would cleave. These are the words in my prayer, in my prayer book. Cleave to his inmost parts. Cleave to his inmost parts. And this morning in prayer, I was just meditating upon that because it struck me so much as I was praying that prayer at Mass. Cleave to my inmost parts, right? So we say to the Holy Spirit, you know, we pray, come Holy Spirit, inspire me as I pray these words. May these words of sacred scripture cleave to my inmost parts, right? I just think that's just glory, mystery in that. And then the R in the word pray, We read the passage slowly and deliberately. The idea being that we're opening ourselves up to the movement of the Holy Spirit in us. So when the Holy Spirit grabs our attention to a phrase, just like happened with me in that prayer that I was reading at Mass, you know, may you cleave to my inmost parts. I was struck by that. I had to stop there. And allow that to enter into me, even as the Mass was continuing to be celebrated. Just sit with that, because the Lord is taking me into a mystery. Just to allow that to enter in. So you're asking the Holy Spirit to be with you. And then you read, looking for the Holy Spirit whom you've asked to be there. What is he attracting me to? Is there a word in this passage that draws my attention? Is there something that just, you know, I'm repeating over and over, like I can't get this into my mind, so I'm going back and rereading it. What is he saying to me in it? You read that passage. Then the A in the word pray, you ask. So what are you saying to me in this passage, Lord? And then you just sit. Now, the Lord, you know, as I just shared with you, that little vocal prayer that sometimes, you know, praising the Lord and, you know, to surrendering our heart and our mind, our imagination, our intellect, you know, be open to that invasion of the Holy Spirit in those parts of your being. So you're asking about that passage, Lord, you know, let's just use my passage from the Missal, you know, cleave to my inmost parts. What are you telling me in this, Lord? What are you revealing to me? Use my imagination, Lord. I surrender to you. Bring to my mind that which I cannot see with my eyes, but which my soul can see. You know? Does he call up a memory, a past event? You know, does he want to take you to a place of healing in it? Does he want to take you to a place of correction? You know, is he saying, look, son, I want to instruct you in this area? You know? Does he want to take you to a place of inspiration, bringing something new to you that you've never thought about before in reference to yourself and him, or you and someone else, or whatever the case may be? Ask. And then finally, the why in the word pray, yield. Yield. Just sit there with it. Just sit there and let it be done. Let it be done. Sometimes we're going to be fighting those distractions, and I promise you that I would say something about distractions. A discouragement is another one. Those are the three Ds, the three plagues of prayer: discouragement, dryness, and distraction. And they come, as I say, they come to all of us. So distractions, you know, I have learned that sometimes, not always, but sometimes the Lord is speaking to us through a distraction. I'll give you a prayer example. Many years ago, I was praying and lived in Florida, and I was having new screening put on the bird cage. So in Florida, we have a lot of bugs, so you screen the pool in. And my pool bird cage had some tears in it, so I was having the roof of it redone. And I was having my time of prayer while the guys were out there working, and I was kind of irritated because they were being a little noisy, but, you know, I was just trying to overcome the distraction. And then they ripped that screening off, and it made this great big sound. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm struggling here. I'm trying to pray. And, you know, that just happened. And then the Lord spoke. And he said, my daughter, just as that screen was being ripped from the birdcage, so too do I want to remove from you this layer that stands as an obstacle to your deepening union with me. Sometimes he speaks through distraction, especially if we're trying hard to work at it, to let it go. But we do want to make sure that we're not allowing ourselves to go down that rabbit hole that you described earlier. I'm doing a whole lot of talking here, Mike, but I'm giving you a little teaching, and maybe some of you out there as well. You know, as soon as we see we're distracted, the distraction isn't a sin. Sometimes it's a ploy of the devil, and sometimes it just comes from our own flesh, our own temperament. Some of us are prone more to, you know, an ADD kind of experience in prayer. As soon as we see we're distracted, we exercise our will and bring ourselves back from that distraction. We exercise the will. Oh, Father God, look where I was. I was already in the grocery store filling my basket up with everything that's on my shopping list, and I've wandered far away from you. So, Father God, I'm just going to park this shopping cart, and I'm just going to come back to you. And I, my big deal is I just start to praise the Lord again. I go back to the beginning. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Father God. I worship you and adore you. And if I'm praying the rosary, I'll start to pray it out loud. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. You know, Mother, the Lord is with you. Imagine such a thing, but the Lord is with me too. Blessed art thou among women. Who do you want me to bless today, Lord? And we just go back into this friendly conversation with our Lord, and we make progress. Now, I will say this, Mike. As we move through a life of prayer, we're going to hit those desert experiences, and we're going to be battling distraction all of the time. But sometimes there's a season for that, and it lasts longer, and we struggle all the more. It is so pleasing to the Lord when he sees that we don't give up. It's like a little child trying to learn its alphabet and to make those letters. And they just keep messing up, and the letters are awful, and they don't seem to be getting any better. But mommy and daddy encourage the baby, and they're so proud of that little one for persevering and trying. And then one day, guess what happens? That letter A is formed so nicely and so neatly, and it's a great day of rejoicing, and all kinds of consolation comes, and maybe he gets a little hot fudge sundae or something. So the idea being, it's just like that. We persevere. And usually that time of dryness, if we are regular prayers and we've made progress in our life of prayer, generally speaking, that time of dryness is a time of preparation, and we just yield to it. We don't allow the evil one to disturb us in the midst of it. We just thank God for it. Father God, I thank you so much for this time of dryness. I even thank you for these distractions, Lord, because it reminds me of how weak I am. And when I think of how weak I am so aware of how strong you are and how you can come in here, Lord God, at any moment. But as long as you want me to endure this cross, I'm going to endure it for the sake of you. But Father God, I'm not going to let this win. I'm going to keep working with grace and cooperating with grace to finally acquire what it is that you want for me to acquire through this time of testing. And I thank you and I praise you for it, Lord, because you know what I need and I don't. I mean, it's that kind of chit-chat with God. So I don't know, Mike. I've given you a whole bunch of stuff. As I say, my book, Experience Grace and Abundance, strategy one is for you, and so is strategy two on prayer, and it'll help you. But we only get better at praying by praying. It's like anything. We only get better by doing it. And remember this, doing follows being. I just heard that beautiful, beautiful quote, Latin quote, not giving you the translation of it, but, you know, doing follows being. Wanting to be with the Lord and being with him, then we acquire the way to make it happen. So all of that being said, a whole bunch of stuff there, but I hope it helps you, Mike.
It really does. I needed to hear that for sure. Certainly providential, this phone call. So I'm very grateful for you taking my call and for taking the time to really just pour into me over the phone. Thank you.
I'll tell you what, thank you very much for calling, because I think that we all need that encouragement. And as I said at the beginning of the program, you know, when we have the opportunity to evangelize or to teach, we're evangelizing ourselves and we're teaching ourselves. So I benefited by your call. You've blessed me, and hopefully we've been a blessing together to so many others. God bless you, Mike.
Thank you. You too.
Just don't give up.
I won't. All for good. Our Lord knows.
Good, Mike. God bless you now. Bye-bye. Oh, geez, that's really nice. I have tears in my eyes. Ah, wow. God is so good. And I have you on the phone there, Doug. And I know you want to talk, but I think we're down to the last, what do we have, 70 seconds. So, Doug, can you call back tomorrow? And we're going to let you through tomorrow, Matthew. Let Doug in tomorrow, okay? Because we didn't get to him. And I do want to talk to Doug. And I want to talk with all of you, too. And that's why I invite you to always call us here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way we can be together here Monday through Friday on the air. Also available for you out there at EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com has all kinds of great, 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 wonderful resources for you. My book that I mentioned is there as well. I want to remind you about next Monday. It's Monthly Marriage Monday. Want to remind you about the Wagathon. Get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com, and do what? Sign up. It's free. Join us. It's going to be such fun. You're going to have such a good time. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, God bless you now. Bye-bye.